You know, I think since started Relevant 17 years ago, I think I've given around somewhere around 700 sermons or so in the last 17 years. And what's depressing about that is people forget most of what I say. However, something that everyone seems to remember that I said almost 4 years ago, which is just the most stupid thing that anyone ever remember, but they do, is that I love cake and steak. I mean, I love it so much. It is my Achilles heel. I cannot resist cake and steak. I buy a cow every single year, and because I eat a lot, I always have steak available, and I eat a lot of it. And I can have it whenever I want because my freezer is full of it. And still, when I go to restaurants, I still order it because I love it so much. And cake, oh, cake. I don't even know if I like cake, but I love frosting. And I mean, oh. Yeah, and I mean like this isn't the type of frosting I like. I don't know who got this, but this thick chocolate frosting. I mean, there's just nothing better. And I like cake so much. I'm telling you, I do a lot of weddings. It's a lot of weekends. And if I end up going to the reception and they do not have cake at the reception, which, by the way, I don't know why you would not do that. Like, why would you not have cake? Like, because you want to be creative? No one cares about creativity at your reception. Have cake. We don't need ice cream. We don't need cookies. We need cake. If you don't have cake at your wedding reception, and I will leave. I will just right out the door. Now, real quick, In 2026, at the end of 2025, my doctor told me that I should, they're like, what have you been eating? They're like, you might want to change some stuff because you got red meat and frosting going through your veins, bro. Like, you're going to die. I think this is why my face is so red all the time. And so I had to give up something. Well, I ain't giving up steak. So in 2026, I haven't had any sugar in 2026. And I miss you so much. So much. Now, I'm going to tell you, if I am ever at your house or we go out to dinner and, you know, if I ever come to your house and you put cake and steak in front of me, you would be my favorite person. And you won't be Christy's favorite person. She doesn't like steak, but you would be my, who cares about her? You would be my favorite person. I want you to know that. Now, I know some of you, you've been listening to this whole thing and all you're wondering is, why is this bottle sitting next to this cake and steak? I'll get back to that and come back to that in just a little bit. However, if this is your first time, welcome. Today, we are in the final week of this series we've entitled called Before You Go. And the sad reality is that people leave churches all the time, and over the past 17 years since we started Relevant, many people have left our church, and people left our church for a variety of reasons, but one reason is because not everyone agrees with everything we believe, value, or do as a church, and that can create internal tension, and at times, the tension people have felt has caused them to leave. So throughout this four-part series, I've been addressing four of the most common tensions I've repeatedly heard that people have left our church over. And once again, I'm not doing it for them. They're gone. They're not listening anymore. I'm doing it for you because some of you might have experienced one of these four tensions, and so I wanted to address it before you go. Now, I realize that some people might leave because of something that I have said in this series, and I'm not going for that. I will not like it if it happens, but I'm at peace with it if it does, because at Relevant, our goal is not to be the biggest church. Our goal is to be a healthy, transformational, and God-glorifying one. As a lead pastor, I'm not trying to keep people happy so they don't leave. I'm trying to lead those of us who say Relevant is my church to be a healthy, transformational, God-glorifying one. And in an effort to do that, for each of these four tensions, we've been exploring where we biblically landed as a church that directs why we do what we do as a church. Over the past 3 weeks, I've addressed three of the four tensions I've repeatedly heard people left our church over. I've addressed communion, women in leadership, and the church just wants my money. Now, if you missed any of the past 3 weeks and you have thought about leaving because of a tension you felt with any of these three, I'd encourage you to go back and watch those messages before you go. Now, the fourth tension I've repeatedly heard people who have left our church over that we'll be addressing today to wrap up this series is this one. I'm not being fed. Now, if you're new to church, people who say this aren't talking about literal food. They're saying, I'm not growing in my relationship with Jesus. I'm not hearing from God. I'm not feeling and seeing God's power and presence in my life. I'm feeling spiritually empty, thirsty, hungry. And it's because I'm not being fed by who is responsible for feeding me. The church, the pastor, the sermons, my T-Life group leader, or my small group leader. I want to be part of a church where I'm being spiritually fed, and that's not happening here. So I'm leaving to find one where I will be. Sometimes this tension can sound like this. It's not deep enough for me. The sermons aren't deep enough for me. My T-Life group isn't deep enough for me. I want to go deeper. And this church, the sermons, the small groups, the classes aren't deep enough for me. So I'm leaving to find one that is. And some people have concluded the reason I'm not being fed and the reason it's not deep enough for me is because this isn't a Bible teaching church. And most of the time when people say or feel this, what they mean by a Bible teaching church is a pastor that preaches verse by verse through entire books of the Bible, breaking down every word of every verse before moving on to the next verse and doing that until the entire book is complete, which is a completely legitimate approach. It's not just our primary approach. Instead, we spend enormous amounts of time praying, God, what principles, what promises, what truths of Scripture does our church need to hear, does our church need to know to follow Jesus more? Instead of just picking a book of the Bible and spending months and sometimes years on that one book, depending on how long that book is, going verse by verse through it, through its entirety. And because of that, some people have concluded, well, this isn't a Bible teaching church, so I need to find one that is. Well, have you ever heard anyone say any of these? I mean, have you said any of these? That leads to a couple questions. First question is, how exactly do you want to be fed? Like, what does that even mean? What does it mean to go deeper? Does it mean more information, being more mentally stimulated, being more convicted, being more spiritually challenged, having more Bible passages, having more doctrinal dissertations, knowing the Greek and Hebrew of every word, more classes, longer sermons? Like, if you've ever felt the tensions, I'm not being fed, it's not deep enough for me, before you go, I'd encourage you to define what you actually mean by that. If you don't, you'll probably end up feeling the same tension at the next church. Second question is, where did you get the idea that the pastor's job is to feed you? Did you read that somewhere in the Bible? Like, were you told that by someone? Are you just assuming it because someone else assumed it was? Here's what I've discovered over the years from having numerous conversations with people. I've discovered that most of the time when people feel the tension, I'm not being fed, what they mean is, I want more information that grows my knowledge and understanding. I want more information that grows my knowledge and understanding of God, more information that grows my knowledge and understanding of the Bible. And of course, I'd say, yes, I absolutely want you to grow in your knowledge and understanding of God and the Bible. But if simply getting more information is what you mean by being fed and going deep and being a Bible teaching church, then you're going to experience some tension with what we do here at Relevant. Because at Relevant, we make faith practical. And why? Because we exist for one purpose, and that purpose is transformation. Our mission is to help transform people into everything God created us to be. And at Relevant, we believe transformation is produced through application, not simply information. We don't call ourselves Relevant Community Church to be cute. We call ourselves Relevant Community Church because at Relevant, we're committed to practical, biblical teaching. We're committed to teaching the never-changing truths of Scripture in a way that is relevant and applicable to our ever-changing lives. At Relevant, we don't believe God gave us the Bible simply for our information. We believe God gave us the Bible for our transformation, and transformation requires application. At Relevant, we believe practical, biblical teaching that inspires and empowers people to take next steps to follow Jesus is a catalyst that God uses to grow our faith, trust, and confidence in him, to grow our relationship with him, and to transform us into everything he created us to be, which in turn is how we go deeper in our experience of God's power and presence in our lives, in our knowledge and understanding of God. At Relevant, we believe transformation is produced through application, not simply information. And the reason we believe this is because this is what Jesus believed and how Jesus taught. Jesus' invitation to his first century followers and to you and to me today is not simply know more or believe more. Over and over, Jesus' invitation was and is follow me. This is a relational, active, real-world invitation. Unfortunately, over time, we, the church, followers of Christ, we have minimized and reduced Jesus' original invitation to simply know about me or believe in me. And as you know, believe in me is a lot easier, safer, and less demanding than follow me. But it's also less transforming because it leaves us exactly where we are. Now listen, this might be hard for some of you to hear, but I really do believe that the reason that some of you have lost faith or are losing faith or are spiritually starving or are not going deeper is because you've reduced faith in Jesus to simply knowing and believing instead of actively following, and doing is what makes all the difference. Jesus did not invite people to simply believe in him or accumulate more information about him. He invites us to actively follow him. Jesus repeatedly said, follow me, follow me, follow me. And here's my promise. With every next step you take, your relationship in me will grow, your soul will be fed, you will go deeper in your experience of me, and you'll be more transformed into everything God created you to be. Because of this invitation, Jesus taught for application, not simply information. Jesus wasn't satisfied just saying what was true. He didn't want people to simply know and understand more information about God. Jesus invited people to follow, to act on, and to do what he taught, because doing is what makes all the difference. Jesus taught for application, a response, for life change, because Jesus desired to grow people's faith in him by transforming people into everything God created us to be. Jesus knew what Jesus knew, and what everyone who wants to be fed, to go deeper, and to be transformed needs to understand is transformation happens by following Jesus one next step at a time. And that is why Jesus taught for application, not simply information. One of the clearest examples of this is found in the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is recorded in the New Testament book of Matthew, chapters 5-7, and is the most famous sermon from Jesus that we have recorded. And all throughout this sermon, Jesus is essentially saying, here's what it looks like to follow me in the real world. His entire message was so challenging, so practical, so application-oriented. And here is how Jesus wrapped up the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says they put their faith in me by asking me to be the forgiver of their sins and the leader of their life is in a saving relationship with me, but only the one who, what? Does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Not who understands, not who just believes, not who simply knows, but does. Verse 24, therefore, everyone, regardless of where you're at in your faith journey, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into, what's the word? Practice, not theological categories, not beliefs, not knowledge, who puts them into practice is like a wise man. And a wise person understands that doing, not simply knowing or believing, is what makes all the difference. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house, and the house in this illustration is our life, who built his house on the rock. The rain, the illness, the death of a loved one, the loss of a job, the miscarriage, the financial hardship, the disappointment, the grief. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it, our faith, our trust, our confidence in God. Yet it, our relationship with Jesus. Yet it, our experience of God's presence, did not fall. And why? Because it had its foundation on the rock. Jesus said, hey, to experience a deeper faith that withstands the pressures and the complications and the grief and the pain and the circumstances of life, to grow in your relationship with me, to be transformed into everything God's created you to be, requires you apply what I have said and I have taught, not just knowing it or believing it. According to Jesus, we can have all the knowledge in the world and we can believe all the right things, but if we don't do anything with it, it makes no difference. And the reason the house didn't fall in this illustration is not because the man knew that the storm was coming someday. It's not because he knew about construction. It's not because he even knew how to build a house, but it's because he actually built his house on the rock. Jesus going, that's the difference between knowing and applying my word. And here's the flip side and the warning. But everyone who hears, everyone who knows these words of mine and puts them in a notebook and feels convicted and nods and says amen, but does not put them into what? Practice. It's like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house. The same rains, the same winds, the same storm. But this time, it, our faith, our relationship with Jesus, our experience of God's presence, fell with a great crash. And here's Jesus' point. Simply hearing, knowing, understanding, even believing his words without applying them is useless and foolish. We don't go deeper in our faith and our relationship with Jesus and our understanding of God and our experience of God simply by knowing more information, but by what we do with what we know. Jesus taught for application, not simply information, because his invitation was follow me, and doing is what makes all the difference. Jesus said the same thing many other times in a few different ways. For instance, in the New Testament book of Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do? Not simply know or understand, but do. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? When we put our faith in Jesus, we're not just trusting him to be the forgiver of our sins, our Savior. We're surrendering to follow him as the leader of our lives. We're surrendering to his lordship in our lives. Calling Jesus Lord and then not doing what he says, those two things are incompatible. Jesus never called those of us who put our faith in him to be Christians. He never even used that word. What does that word even mean? You can define the word Christian whatever way you want to define it. Jesus called us to be his disciples. And a disciple is someone who says, I am going to follow you in whatever you lead me into in order to become like you. Following Jesus is an active in the real world do thing, not a passive, ideological, merely theological head knowledge thing. And how we follow him is one next step at a time. A few chapters later, in Luke 8, Jesus said, my mother and brothers are those who, he's saying, the people I have a relationship and who have a relationship with me are those who hear God's word, God's word revealed through the writers of Scripture and God's word that I have taught, Jesus said, are those who hear God's word and put it into what? Practice. And then, in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 22, one of the last recorded statements that we have from Jesus in the Bible is this. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in the scroll. Blessed is the one who keeps, who does, who applies what I have taught, because doing is what makes all the difference. You guys, in the words of Captain America, I could do this all day. But I think you get my point. Jesus' invitation was and is, follow me. And that's why Jesus taught for application, not simply information. Jesus wasn't satisfied just saying what was true. He doesn't want us to simply know and understand more information about God. Jesus came to transform us into everything God created us to be. Transformation happens by following Jesus one next step at a time. At Relevant, we make faith practical because Jesus taught for application, not simply information, so we do too. Now come on, let's be honest. Let's be honest. When people feel the tension, I'm not being fed, it's not deep enough for me, information is not the problem. Application is. For example, most followers of Christ know that we're called to give generously and sacrificially. We talked about this last week. So why aren't more of us doing it? The problem isn't that we don't know. The problem is we're not following Jesus by applying what we do know. Most followers of Christ know Jesus' one new covenant command, which is to love one another just as he first loved us. So what stops us from forgiving one another? From reconciling broken relationships with one another? From walking in the fullness of grace and truth with one another? From caring for one another? Is it that we don't know? No. The problem is we're not following Jesus by applying what we already do know. Most followers of Christ know we've been called to share the good news of Jesus with a lost and broken world. So why aren't more of us? The problem isn't that we don't know. The problem is we're not following Jesus by applying what we do know. Most followers of Christ know God has called us to flee from sexual immorality. So why are so many followers of Christ having sex outside of marriage? Is it that we don't know? No. The problem is we're not following Jesus by applying what we do know. Most followers of Christ know we're called to be a fully functioning member of the body of Christ by serving his church. So why aren't all of us serving on a team? The problem is that we don't know. The problem is we're not following Jesus by applying what we do know. And then we say, I'm not being fed. It's not deep enough for me. Information is not the problem. Application is. So many followers of Christ operate under the assumption that if their Bible knowledge increases, their maturity and their transformation automatically will as well. So we get in another Bible study and listen to more sermons and more podcasts and join more classes in an effort to get more fed. And that's all great, but none of it in and of itself produces transformation, because transformation is produced through application, not simply information. You want to be fed? You want to go deeper? What if you don't need new or more information? What if you just need to do what you already know? Jesus says, nothing changes until you put these words of mine into practice. You want to be fed? You want to go deeper? Then follow Jesus and forgive that unforgivable person just as Christ forgave you. You want to be fed? Then follow Jesus and reconcile that broken relationship. You want to go deeper? Then follow Jesus by trusting God enough to give generously and sacrificially when you don't want to and when you're afraid to. You want to be fed? You want to go deeper? than follow Jesus by inviting someone who doesn't know Jesus to lunch and sharing the good news of Jesus with them. You want to be fed? Then follow Jesus by ending a sexual relationship you know isn't glorifying to God. You want to be fed? You want to go deeper? Then follow Jesus by engaging in the body of Christ by serving on a team. Transformation is produced through application, not simply information. Now, before I tell you why I have this bottle sitting up here next to this cake and steak, I want to read one more passage. And this time from the writer of the New Testament book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, the writer of Hebrews says, "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness." Righteousness is living in a way that glorifies God. "But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use, constant practice, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." Once again, maturity, transformation comes through constantly applying the truths of God's word. At Relevant, we're committed to practical, biblical teaching. In all of our environments, we're committed to practically applying the never-changing truths of Scripture to our lives. We're committed to inspiring and empowering people, young people, old people, single people, married people, wealthy people, people skeptical of Jesus, people who have been part of the church their entire lives, inspiring and empowering people to take next steps to follow Jesus. That's what solid food is. That's cake and steak. And that's what we're committed to put in front of you every single message and every single sermon on Sundays and Relevant Kids and Rooted and Youth United and all of our environments, because our mission is to help transform people and everything God's created us to be, and transformation is produced through application, not simply information. But to be fed, you gotta pick up the fork and eat by applying it. Some of you are feeling empty, and some of you are feeling hungry, not because you don't know, but because you're not picking up the fork and eating and applying solid food. And then you're blaming me for not being fed. What I'm going to say next is going to make some of you mad, and I'm not trying to do it to make you mad. I'm honestly doing it because I love you. Do you know what type of people need to get fed? They're called babies. I put you in my arms and give you a bottle, baby. The people who say, "I'm not being fed," listen, I get it. I know you think you're mature because you're saying that. That's why you're saying it, because I'm so mature. But mature adults don't ask to be fed. Mature adults feed themselves. If I go to your house and you have a steak and you go, "Let me feed you." That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. And if you want me to come up here and swaddle you to feed you, it's so ridiculous. It's not my responsibility to feed you. It's yours. Listen, I am committed to put steak and cake in front of you, but to be fed, you gotta pick up the fork and eat it by applying it. Every single Sunday, I give a practical next step. I put some cake and steak right there. And every single Sunday, people walk out of here already have made up their mind, "I ain't gonna do that." If you ever felt the tension, "I'm not being fed," It's not deep enough for me. Before you go, I'd encourage you to evaluate if the problem is with what's being put in front of you or with what you're doing with what's being put in front of you. And if after evaluating all that, you conclude that you really want, what you really want from a church is primarily more information, I understand why Relevant may not be the right church for you. But before you go, I want you to know that teaching that only fills your head with knowledge is actually shallow teaching. Knowing the Greek and Hebrew, who cares? If it's just filling your head with knowledge, it's shallow teaching. Deep teaching is what messes with your soul. And what messes with your soul is when you're challenged to take a next step in the real world based on what God has revealed through the writers of Scripture. A next step to follow Jesus today when it's hard, when it's costly, when it's inconvenient, and when it's uncomfortable. A next step that requires you to say, Jesus, I don't know how this is all going to turn out, but I'm choosing to trust in you and to surrender to you, because that's how we build our house on the rock. But to be fed, you gotta pick up the fork and eat. Transformation happens by following Jesus one next step at a time. That's why Jesus taught for application, not simply information, and why we do too. At Relevant, we make faith practical because transformation is produced through application, not simply information. At Relevant, we're committed to practical biblical teaching because transformation is produced through application, not simply information. At Relevant, our vision is not to be a church full of Christians. I don't know what that word means. Our vision is to be a church of active followers of Jesus, because our mission is to help transform people into everything God's created us to be, and transformation is produced through application, not simply information. So for all of you who say you're a follower of Christ, you put your faith in Jesus, you've asked him to be the forgiver of your sins, you say he's the leader of my life, let me ask you a question before you go. What next step has Jesus been inviting you to take to follow him? What next step do you already know Jesus is inviting you to take, because you've already felt a prompting and you felt a stirring and you have felt a conviction and you felt this sense of like, I ought to and I don't want to take it, but for whatever reason, you've chosen not to? You want to be fed? You want to go deeper? Then pick up the fork and eat it. That's how you follow Jesus. That's how your relationship with him will grow. That's how your soul will be fed. That's how you will go deeper in your experience of God, and that's how you'll be transformed. You don't need more information to be fed or to go deeper. You need to do what you know Jesus has already invited you to do. So, pick up the fork and eat, because cake and steak is better than a bottle. Now, for those of you who say, I'm not a follower of Christ, I never put my faith in Jesus, I'm surprised I'm here. I just want you to know I'm so glad you're here. I just want to talk to you for one quick second before we go. You can apply the principles and promises and truths of Scripture that we preach, even if you don't believe everything in the Bible. And I think you should, because it will make you better at life and it will make your life better. However, it will not change the fact that you have a broken relationship with your Heavenly Father because of your violation of sin against him. Our broken relationship with Holy Creator God, our broken relationship with our Heavenly Father, can only be restored, redeemed, and reconciled through putting our faith in Jesus, asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life. And almost every single Sunday, I give an opportunity for you to put your faith in Jesus. And some of you have felt a prompting and a stirring to take that next step, but for whatever reason, you haven't. I believe there is no better time than today to pick up the fork and take this next step. Because this next step not only transforms your life, this next step transforms your eternity. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we are never a church that just is okay with simply accumulating more information about you or about the Bible. Lord, I believe the Bible is the inspired, authoritative word of God. Lord, we want to preach it and preach it like crazy, but not just for head knowledge. but to take a next step to follow you. And so, Lord, as we ask that question, those of us who have put our faith in you, ask that question, what next step, Jesus, are you inviting me to take? I guarantee there's a next step you've invited every single one of us to take, and I guarantee there's a next step we haven't taken. So, Lord, today, based on this message, I pray, whatever we knew that thing was and however uncomfortable it is, I pray those who say we're followers of Christ, that we choose to follow you today. Lord, for every person who's never put their faith in you and they feel a prompting and a stirring, they feel ready to do that, I pray that quietly where they're at today in this room or at home, that right now they choose to put their faith in you, that right now they confess their need for a Savior because of their sin that broke their relationship with you, God. And in this moment, they declare, Jesus, they believe you are the Savior because of your death and resurrection. And right now, I pray that they choose to put their faith in you by asking you to be the forgiver of their sins, their Savior, and proclaiming they want to follow you as the leader, as the Lord of their life. In Jesus' name, amen.